So we've been having lots of lectures about F-theory, and they all kind of start this way. We look at an elliptic vibration. And the typical starting point, I'll call it X-bar, the typical starting point is a Weierstrass vibration, which can be written in this form, where the coefficients f of b and g of b are sections of appropriate line bundles on the base manifold. In fact, there's some line bundle L, so that f of b is a section of L to the tensor 4, and g of b is a section of L to the tensor 6. So that's the Weierstrass model. And then in algebraic geometry, it's common to look for a resolution of singularities. So X to B should be still a map of fiber dimension 1, and X should be non-singular. And one of the kind of issues is when there exists an X that resolves the singularities in this way, that keeps the map of fiber dimension 1 with the things being non-singular. And if the dimension of X is 3, then we get such a resolution provided that, sorry, do I mean 3? Yeah. Provided that the singularities of X bar are so-called canonical singularities. Okay, so I should have waited one more minute. Did you look behind you as you were coming? Sorry. Anybody in the next elevator?
You're the last.
Okay. Okay, so I'll start over. So this is the basic setup in F-theory. We want to study elliptic vibrations in algebraic geometry, and typically we study them with a section. And if you have an elliptic vibration with a section, then it can be written in this Weierstrass form, where the coefficients in the Weierstrass equation, instead of just being constants as they would be for a single elliptic curve, are actually sections of appropriate line bundles over the base. We can study these from the point of view of algebraic geometry and also in physics via the F-theory, M-theory duality effectively if we can find a non-singular space X that resolves the singularities of X bar and in which has nice properties such as keeping the map of fiber dimension 1 and so on. And at least in dimension 3, there's a sort of clear answer to when you can do this. You need that the singularities are what are called canonical singularities. So what I want to describe is cases in which X bar has worse than canonical singularities. And I want to describe them as arising from some family X bar tilde over B tilde, maybe that's X tilde bar, over B tilde, and some operation in which a part of B tilde was contracted to get B, and then you try to get a family X bar over B, and it turned out to have worse singularities of some worse kind. So in this setup, I'm going to have some set E, which is mapped to some set C, and the dimension of C is strictly less than the dimension of E. And maybe B tilde minus E is going to be isomorphic to B minus C. So I'm largely interested in the case where E is a divisor on B tilde, and for most of the talk, B tilde will have dimension 2 and E will be a divisor on it. At the end of the talk, if there's time, which is unlikely, I will try to talk about the case where B tilde has dimension 3 and I'm contracting a divisor on it. That's the case that's been used in phenomenology. So the phenomenology applications, the construction of explicit string vacua using F-theory, we take B tilde to have dimension 3. E is a divisor on B tilde. And this divisor supports the grand unified gauge group in the theory. So by supports, I mean that we use the usual dictionary, i.e., the fibers of x tilde bar to b tilde have some Kodaira type along E corresponding to a group G, gut gauge group capital G. So we've discussed in previous lectures how you get groups out of various fiber types. The physics of what's going on is this, that these models mix together gravitational and gauge theory aspects of the underlying physics. But we know in the world around us that there is a vast disparity between the strength scales of the gravitational force as opposed to the unified other forces, the electromagnetic, the strong and the weak force, which are all somehow taking part in this unified gauge group G. So one needs a mechanism for setting up such a hierarchy of scales, and a natural way to do that mechanism is to try to decouple the gauge theoretic aspects of the model from the gravity aspects of the model. Gravity aspects have to do with global structure of B tilde, so if you can find a limit in the space of metrics on B tilde which makes E shrink down to zero size, then that limit process has some hope of decoupling the gravitational and gauge theoretic aspects of the model. So that's kind of the motivation. The talk we heard last week was about an attempt to understand the physics with E contracted from the point of view of open string theory and non-commutative gauge theory. I'm going to be giving a sort of more traditional discussion of this, where we're at least trying to learn what the mathematics is when you do these contractions and how you might make a semi-classical analysis of the physical theory based on that mathematics. Fully understanding the open string states is some important aspect of doing this phenomenology, but that's not a topic that I'll kind of touch on. In fact, I'm doing the six-dimensional case first for a bunch of reasons, one of which is that the mathematics is much, much better under control, another of which is that together with Wadi Taylor and Vijay Kumar, we've been studying six-dimensional F-theory models, and we're kind of interested in these phenomena, which have been around for a long time but are being re-examined by us, and so that's sort of an excuse for talking about it in six dimensions. And it's supposed to be a warm-up for this four-dimensional case, although, like I say, I'm probably not going to get there. So if you remember, I made this Kodaira table, which explained what the behavior was supposed to be along divisors in the base. So if you had a divisor in the base, you measured the order of vanishing of F, of G, and of the discriminant. The discriminant is 4F cubed plus 27G squared. And out of the information of that vanishing, you drew conclusions about the type of Kodaira fiber, the monodromy, the group, and so on. There was another condition that had to be added in one case, that had to be added if you wanted to identify the gauge group appropriately, but that's not going to be relevant to my discussion today. And at the bottom of that table is this mysterious line called non-minimal. And non-minimal corresponds to vanishings of order 4, 6, and at least 12. I guess I should say at least 4, at least 6, and at least 12. Anytime you had that situation, you got a so-called non-minimal Weierstrass model. So when that happens along a divisor, I think I explained this in one of the earlier lectures, but let me just warm us up today by explaining it again. When that happens along a divisor, what it means is that there's a local equation along a component of D. So let me let phi equal 0 be the local equation of D. When that happens, it means that phi to the fourth divides F, and phi to the sixth divides G. And those are the actual conditions that we need, because that implies, very quickly, that phi to the 12th divides 4F cubed plus 27G squared. It divides each of those terms, therefore there's some. And in this case, I can take my original equation, which I'm now going to write in the form y squared equals x cubed plus phi to the 4th times F naught of B x plus phi to the 6th times G naught of B. And I can make a change of variables which gets rid of that factor of phi. So the way you do it is to divide everything by phi to the 6th. So it's phi over y cubed quantity squared equals x over phi squared quantity cubed plus f0 times x over phi squared plus g0. When I divided by phi to the 6th, those were clear. And then here I had a 1 over phi squared, which just went into here. So if I have new variables, capital Y equals Y over phi cubed, capital X equals X over phi squared, I get another Weierstrass equation. The new line bundle is the old line bundle tensored with O of minus D, I guess. So I've changed the line bundle that I'm using, that things are sections of. But aside from that, I still just get a Weierstrass equation. So this is a birational change on the total space. It doesn't affect. It doesn't really affect what was going on with the elliptic vibration. It affects what you think the line bundle is that you're supposed to use, but it doesn't really affect what was going on with the elliptic vibration. And if you start with an arbitrary Weierstrass model, then you look for divisors with this property. If you find one, you make this change of coordinates. Now you've reduced the total of order of vanishing of delta along various things. So by induction, you can do that and finish after only a finite number of times and get some minimal Weierstrass model without this phenomenon happening. So if you want to study all elliptic vibrations, of course you should include these. You can do this backwards. You can take an arbitrary divisor, make the inverse change of coordinates, and enforce an extra order of vanishing along any divisor that you like. But that doesn't change any of the data of the elliptic vibration, and for that reason, for the application to F-theory, this is usually not considered to be an interesting operation. So you should pass to the minimal Weierstrass model, and then if you're going to use, for example, a criteria about which line bundles L would give you a Calabi-Yau total space X, which helps to satisfy certain conditions about preserving supersymmetry or something of that sort, that should be done with the ultimate one, the L prime or its descendant, rather than the original L. Okay, so that story was not about contracting divisors. But now, if dimension of B is bigger than or equal to 2, we can ask, at each point of B, where on the Kadira table are we using, rather than the order of vanishing, just the multiplicity at the point P, at each point P, of F, the multiplicity at the point P of G, and the multiplicity at the point P of delta. Well, the answer, as I described in my second lecture, determines the matter content, generally speaking. In mathematical language, it determines a specific representation of the group G, which had been associated to the elliptic vibration. But there's also the possibility of winding down in the non-minimal level of the table at points of codimension 2 rather than codimension 1. So what is the meaning of being in the non-minimal line? Well, the answer is that in that case, X bar has worse than canonical singularities. Sorry, I misspoke earlier. It's not that there. It's not that it's. It can still be canonical singularities. Yeah. So what I said wrong about 5 minutes ago was my claim that it was exactly canonical singularities which allowed you to have that resolution that had equidimensional fibers. That's not quite right. It's only a restricted class of canonical singularities. But this has worse singularities, and as I'll show in a minute, the resolution has non-equidimensional fibers. So let me do an example. And in the example, I'm going to approach a point P on B in the non-minimal line of the table. It's going to be approached indirectly by blowing up B. So B tilde is the blow up of B at P. And that contains an exceptional divisor, which is the inverse image of P under this blow up. And we're going to study the divisor, the contraction of this divisor E on the base B tilde. So this becomes a prototype of the kind of analysis I would like to do in general. Ask the question, what happens when you contract various kinds of things? And anyway, that's what I'm going to do. So I'll start out with a B tilde, and I'll start out with a curve E on B tilde. And E is an exceptional curve of the first kind. E is an exceptional curve for some blow-up. Sorry, I fell into some language that's not familiar. And it satisfies two properties. Its intersection number with itself is minus 1, and its intersection number with a canonical bundle of B tilde is also minus 1. Did I say in my example the dimension of B was equal to 2? So I blew up a point, and this is what I got. Now, if I had a Weierstrass model on B, I get a Weierstrass model over B tilde by pullback. No problem. And in particular, that Weierstrass model can be restricted to this curve E, and I'll get an elliptic vibration over E. Now, it turns out that these conditions imply that the line bundle for that elliptic vibration, which I'll call L sub E, is exactly O of 1. E itself, I should have said this implies, E is isomorphic to P1. E is isomorphic to P1, so there's a standard description of line bundles there. And I have the minimal case for finding elliptic vibrations over a P1. It looks like a polynomial in a homogeneous polynomial in variables S and T of degree 4, and another homogeneous polynomial in variables S and T of degree 6. So these are homogeneous in S and T, the homogeneous coordinates associated to the P1. Well, the total space of such a vibration is known to be so X restricted to E is the blow up of P2 in 9 points. And the way you get a one parameter family out of a blow up of P2 in 9 points, it's not a randomly chosen set of 9 points, but it's a set of 9 points which are at the intersection of 2 degree 3 curves in P2. And when you blow up these 9 points, you end up with elliptic curves the letter for elliptic curve should be E, but E's already been used, so I don't have a name for it. But you end up with the inverse images of these cubic curves having now been separated along these 9 points, so that you have all of these nice sections of the 9 points. And this is traditionally called in the math literature a rational elliptic surface, and sometimes called in the physics literature a DP9 or half K3. Neither term are ones I'm really fond of. Question? No. DP1 through DP8 are Delpezzos, but DP9 is not a Delpezzo. That's one of the reasons I don't like the term. Yes, you got a question?
So how did you fix that LE, the line bundle over E is over?
Let's see. Maybe I was assuming that the total space is Calabi-Yau. That's probably what I'm assuming. Pardon?
But you keep the base space general B tilde, or is that a particular base?
That's this is why, but I'm trying to think of how to say why this is why. This is why. No, that's not why, actually. No, because I'm going to do a case where kb tilde dot e is 0, and then I'm going to claim it's O of 2. So, okay, so I don't... Oh, no, I'm not going to claim it's O of 2 in that case. No, I think this is right.
So this is the restriction of the line bundle from...
That's correct. That's correct. So I probably am implicitly assuming there's a Calabi-Yau total space for O over B tilde, because that will give us that the line bundle for B tilde had to be minus K B tilde, right? And so now if you're restricting that line bundle to E tilde, it has to be O of 1. So, yeah. I think I was assuming that. So I want to explain what happens to the total space. So when I take a resolution of singularities of X tilde bar, and get X tilde sitting over B tilde, then that contains this rational elliptic surface sitting over E. And of course, I can contract E to a point. And when I contract E to a point, that entire rational elliptic surface is going to have to map to the point in this case. And the question is, could you do better? Could you somehow get a look at a resolution just of X bar and somehow think that X tilde mapped to that resolution X bar and be in the nice situation where that was itself a family of elliptic curves? And I'm now going to show you basically why that doesn't work. So there is a map from the resolved total space of X tilde to the resolved total space of X, but it's only a rational map. And it goes in the following way. So I have my rational elliptic surface. And on the and I have the section of the Weierstrass elliptic vibration sitting on that rational elliptic surface. So let me call it sigma. Sigma sitting on the surface S. So this is S, which is a rational elliptic surface. Now, an interesting feature of these Weierstrass models is that the section itself will be mapping one-to-one to the base. So if I'm hoping to do to sort of follow this diagram where that curve has been contracted on the base, I should also try to contract that curve on S. And there's a way to do it, because it turns out that the normal bundle of this curve in the threefold X tilde is O minus 1 plus O minus 1. So it's a curve that can be flopped. So I do the flop of X tilde along sigma. Let's see, maybe not everybody in the room knows what a flop is. So I've got this rational curve. One way of thinking about the flop is that I blow up the curve. When I blow up the curve, the fact that this normal bundle was O minus 1 plus O minus 1 tells me that I get a projectivization of that bundle, which happens to be isomorphic to P1 cross P1. And so it's got two different rulings by P1s, and it can be blown back down the other way so that it's a curve pointing this way instead of that way. In any event, what that does is it blows down S to, well, at the risk of making things bad, I'll change the name of S to S tilde. It blows down S tilde to S, and this S is isomorphic to my original B, so that blowdown has been done. That's not isomorphic to my B. This S is now actually a blow-up of P2 in only 8 points, so that really is a Del Pezzo surface, generically, a DP8. So what used to be a rational elliptic surface with a rational curve sitting inside it, now after the flop, that rational curve is poking out of it, and I've got the rational elliptic surface, and that rational elliptic surface still has to be blown down to a point. So the map, so this is maybe X hat, the flopped guy, and then it has a map to X, which is the resolution of X bar, in which the remnant of sigma still stays as a rational curve, but all of S bar gets contracted to a point. All of S gets contracted to a point. No, sorry. I kind of said this wrong. X hat is a resolution of X bar. And when you map it to X bar contains a X bar contains the sort of remnant of sigma and this one point P, which is the image of S. Yes?
Can you go over those arrows again? I think I lost as the words.
Yes, let me redraw my picture in a more in a better way with appropriate arrows. So I had B, and then I blew up B to get B tilde. And B tilde contained E. And then I had my Weierstrass model X bar, and my Weierstrass model X tilde bar, and X tilde bar maps to X bar. That's just the ordinary thing. And the inverse image of E was something that I would like to call X. Well, I called it X E, but I should have called it X tilde bar of E. X tilde bar of E, which is just the elliptic vibration restricted to E. Now I resolved the singularities of X tilde bar, giving me X tilde. And similarly, I could resolve the singularities of X tilde bar E, giving me X tilde E. So X tilde E was what I was just calling S, this rational elliptic surface. Similarly, I can resolve the singularities here, X. And then I can ask, what kind of map do I have from X tilde bar to X? So if I don't go down to the non-minimal part of the Kadaira table, then when I resolve these singularities, the map from X to B stays has equidimensional fibers, so it's still a family of elliptic curves. However, when I go off the Kadaira when I go off the bottom of the Kadaira table, as I've done in this case, that's no longer true. And this X to B, in this case, does not have a resolution that only has one-dimensional inverse images of points. You can have two-dimensional inverse images of points. And I'm now sort of showing how that works in this particular case. So this map from here to here is a flop along the section intersected with S.
So X bar has a singularity of a non-minimal type?
That's correct.
Is X twiddle bar?
This is non-minimal type, but I blew it up, and this is okay. Yeah, sorry. I started out talking about non-minimal things. Now I'm talking about contraction of curves. So in a way, I'm starting from B tilde, but the way I'm analyzing it is by thinking of starting from the contracted guy B. Okay, so in this picture, the flop of S turns into some other guy whose name I don't know. S hat, who knows? And the section sigma turns into some curve sigma hat. And then the picture was that S hat and sigma hat were now transverse to each other, and that you could contract S hat down to the point and get the Weierstrass model. But this singularity of the Weierstrass model, when you resolved it, you no longer got this fiber was no longer pure dimension one. It had a dimension one component and a dimension two component. So let's try to think about contractible divisors.
So is the reverse always true? So could I start with the left side and always construct the B tilde and X tilde bar and so on? I mean, we kind of started in the middle, right?
Well, I started with a Weierstrass model with the property that there was some point, P, at which I dropped off the bottom of the table. And actually, there was an implicit assumption, which was that that point was as simple as possible. So then I blew it up, and since it was as simple as possible, I got to a situation where there were no non-minimal points anymore. You could imagine cases where you had to blow up seven times before that was true. So that was a case in which there was a resolution that had one-dimensional fibers every place. And the thing I could analyze was, if I took the exceptional divisor of that blow-up, what structure did it have? It had this rational elliptic surface structure. And what I can always do is flop the section, and then I'll get something which can contract to a point. So this is actually a quite general picture of the geometry. So I want to consider curves E on B, and there are E on a B tilde, excuse me, which might be contractible. Dimension B tilde is equal to 2. And I no longer want the... I don't want to assume that I got it by blowing up a non-singular point, which was the starting point that I had for the example. But I want to consider more generally, when could you have a contraction of a curve? So when might there exist a B in which E contracts to a point? So the first property is that E is contractible in algebraic geometry if and only if the self-intersection of E is less than zero. Well, that might be a contraction to a so-called algebraic space, not a scheme. But but there are other conditions that you can analyze which would guarantee that it's a scheme. And when you do that contraction, B is non-singular if and only if we're in this previous case. E squared is minus 1, K B tilde dot E is minus 1, which implies that E is isomorphic to P1, among other things. So the case I started out with was the only case in which the endpoint of contraction would be a non-singular guy, but we could still, particularly with these examples of these phenomenological examples in mind, we could still ask the question, what other things are contractible and what might you get when you contract them? So, so here's an important fact about B tilde. H naught of O of minus 4k B tilde and H naught of O of minus 6k B tilde are non-empty. Ah, yeah. I do seem to be assuming, again, I'm assuming Calabi-Yau total space. So again, I'm assuming that L is O B tilde of minus K. So, in particular, I have an effective divisor in minus 4k b tilde, and if minus 4k b tilde intersected with E is negative, then E is a component of this effective divisor, minus 4k b tilde. Likewise for minus 6. So the simplest case, oh, and moreover, let's see, if I take kb tilde dot e plus e squared, that's equal to 2g minus 2, which is greater than or equal to minus 2. If I use the fact that e squared is negative, then I get kb tilde dot e is strictly greater than minus 2. And so if I'm assuming that minus kb tilde dot e is positive, so that I don't have this issue of it being a component, that's less than 2. So there are only two possibilities. Either e squared is minus 1, kb tilde dot e is minus 1, and we're in this nice case that we've just analyzed, or e squared is minus 2, kb tilde dot e is 2, 0, excuse me, and again e is p1. This is because to get here I needed genus 0, and then I only had these two possibilities for kb dot e, either 0 or minus 1 in order to satisfy this condition. So outside of these two cases, in any other case, oh, and I should have mentioned that H naught of O minus 12 KB was also, KB tilde was also a section. This argument also applies to that. So in any other case, E is a component of the discriminant locus, and that implies that E supports some factor of the F-theory gauge group. Well, let's see, that's slightly too fast because there are a couple of cases where you can have a component of delta which doesn't make it, which makes it not only a trivial contribution to the gauge group. So we should allow for that as well. But anyway, it's got to be a component of delta. So that's the sort of case that the phenomenologists are interested in four dimensions. They're starting with a divisor which they assume is contributing a component. In fact, they have a particular, typically they have a particular type of component in mind. And here what we're seeing is that except for two particular kinds of cases, one of which is the one that I analyzed to begin with, and the other one of which we'll do in a couple of minutes. Boy, this is going slowly. We're thrown into that case where there are components of the gauge group. So, in fact, the smaller this number is, or the larger the negative of it is, I mean, it becomes a negative number, the higher the multiplicity of the component has to be. What you have to determine is numbers M4, M6, and M12 with the property that minus 4k b tilde minus M4e dotted with e is greater than or equal to 0, etc. Right. So I'm assuming that its intersection with no multiplicity was negative. Then perhaps M4 equal 1 is enough. So you want the smallest numbers with that property. And this ends up implying, if we also insist that the Weierstrass model on B tilde is minimal, then that puts effective bounds on M4 and M6. So either M4 is strictly less than 4 or M6 is strictly less than 6. And that ends up implying that E squared is greater than or equal to minus 12 after a little bit of algebra. So there aren't all that many cases to think through. Cases with E squared less than minus 2, between minus 3 and minus 12, support some factors of the gauge group. And of course, you always have the possibility of a larger multiplicity of delta along the curve E than the sort of minimal one. This is just a kind of minimal one that's coming out of this analysis. So let me talk about the case E squared is minus 2, KB tilde dot E is equal to 0. So I've got the contraction map from B tilde to B, and this contains the point, which is the image of E, and P is a singular point of B, locally isomorphic to C2 mod C2. That's what I get by contracting a rational curve of self-intersection minus 2 on a surface. It's the simplest singularity of a surface, and it's arising naturally in this context. So what happens in this case? Well, what happens in this case when you analyze the surface x tilde e as before, well, we analyze that by sort of studying the line bundle L sub E, and the line bundle L sub E in this case just turns out to be O, the trivial line bundle. That's because KB tilde dot E was equal to 0. So I've got the trivial line bundle, since it's a bundle, an elliptic vibration over an elliptic curve, having the trivial line bundle means that this is actually a constant elliptic curve whose name can't be E, whose name is C sub tau cross a P1 whose name is E. So in this case, there's really no issue about the birational geometry. There's a family X bar over B, and in this simplest situation, it simply contains an elliptic curve C tau at P, and then you blow up P and you end up with this rational curve, and you pull back and that entire family looks like a sort of constant elliptic vibration over that curve. So not too much happens. We get a nice Weierstrass model with no peculiar properties over this surface that has a singular point. And I should point out that this surface which has a singular point can often be expressed as the central fiber in some family where BT is non-singular. It's a standard thing to do to a variety that has a singular point. And if you, in general, you'll be able to perturb the sections of the sections F of B into sections FBT and GBT, so that this whole thing was some kind of deformation of an ordinary elliptic vibration over some surface that didn't have a double point. So in a way, this is the most harmless case of this contraction business. It just meant that the base manifold itself had to be singular. So in all these cases, other than this kind of E squared equal minus 1, KB tilde dot E equal minus 1 case, B is singular, has some singularity, and you know, the mathematics of elliptic vibrations over bases doesn't really necessarily assume that the base is non-singular. Certainly for the construction of a Weierstrass family, what's important is that I have a line bundle on that base, so I need at least one interesting Cartier divisor on the base. But aside from that, singular guys are perfectly fine. And it has another property, which is that if you take the divisor for delta and divide it by 12, so that'll be some linear combination of components with the AI's now rational numbers, then KB plus a 12th delta has a nice numerical properties. Well, KB plus a 12th delta is supposed to be numerically zero. So one could try to study pairs of B and divisors, sum of AI CI, with the property that, first of all, the singularities are not too bad. What I mean by not too bad is something I have to determine by doing the study a little bit. But I want to include the simple cases of blowdowns that I'm getting from there. But I also want to include possibilities of contracting multiple divisors, right? Singularities are not too bad, and KB plus this divisor is numerically zero. So there are various theories of these pairs of a surface and a divisor, and exactly what property you get depends on which version of singularities not too bad you decide to adopt, and then what theorems you get also depends on what singularities you decide to adopt. But the general condition on singularities that you want to include is something called log terminal. But then it turns out there are like four or five different ways to define log terminal, and they're not all compatible with each other. So so I've reached the midpoint of my planned remarks, but I've also reached the end of the scheduled time. And so I think the confluence of those two makes me stop here and say that someday in the future I'll give another part of this talk which explains more thoroughly about these log terminal singularities and how you get a more general analysis of these contractions. So I think I'm going to stop. Any questions? Yes?
So for a smooth base, then numerically zero is just actually zero.
Right.
So what does
The numerically zero, so I've put rational numbers in there, so it's not actually, I mean, what's true is that this divisor is in minus 12 kb. I mean, that's what I want for a Calabi-Yau total space. But the theory of log terminal guys has lots of fractions in there, and we've got a fraction, so we might as well put it there to kind of match the existing theory. The 12 is just because 12, you know, delta is a section of 12L. I could have used the divisor for F instead in a 1/4, or I could have used the divisor for G in a 1/6.
I'm just confused because I thought the Kundera condition for the total space of the Calabi-Yau was that delta is minus 12 kb.
Delta is minus 12 kb. So that says kb plus 1/12 delta.
I agree. So if b is singular, you're using this adjective numerically. So I don't
know. No. What I'm using, it's not a question of I've put fractions in there.
Yes.
I've also included singularities. I'm actually dealing, since I've got singularities, I might not be dealing with Cartier divisors anymore. I might only be dealing with Q Cartier divisors. I don't know if you're aware of this distinction. So a Cartier divisor is one that can be locally defined by a single equation, and those are well adapted for defining line bundles. However, when you have orbifold singularities like this simple one, you can have subvarieties of codimension 1 which cannot be defined by a single equation. However, in orbifold cases, it's always true that a multiple of the divisor can be defined by a single equation. So twice the divisor is a single equation. So here, I'm allowing Q Cartier, I'm allowing rational coefficients, and the numerically zero thing, I mean, if you like, it really means an appropriate high multiple of this is zero. Other questions? Okay. Have a nice Memorial Day weekend and or tea time and or trip to Utah.